Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer Podcast, post-holiday edition. Will Brinson, Pete Prisco. We're going to talk about some things and stuff and more things that happened over Thanksgiving, including Aaron Rodgers, or the Thanksgiving weekend, and then into Monday. Aaron Rodgers back? Maybe back. Pete, you're back. I can hear you typing.
Yeah, well, actually, I can do two things at once, unlike you.
Hey, you're doing them both at once on the audio, I'll tell you that.
Know why that is?
Why is that?
My ADD kicking in, baby.
All right, got that. Got those PEDs rolling in, right?
Yeah, no, ADD.
Okay, so first up, and we'll roll through some other stuff from you and back as far as the Thanksgiving games, and then talk about anything that you find interesting, Pete. But I found it notable that on Monday night, Aaron Rodgers looked like the best quarterback in football once again, which is something he's actually been doing for a few weeks. And the Packers defense played okay against a rookie quarterback in Carson Wentz. And the Packers came away with a victory that kind of opens up the door for a potential playoff berth, right?
Yeah, because they still play Minnesota and Detroit. So they got those guys in front of them. And look, the stuff with Rodgers was the most overblown, overhyped thing going. It was, you know what that was? You know what that was? That was the Twitter police were at it again.
See, that's not the Twitter police. That's No, it's the cyclical NFL. It's just the way that the NFL works.
It's the overreaction of what happens week by week.
He wasn't very good for the first few weeks of the season.
There were reasons behind it. Like and the receivers didn't win and weren't winning. And Jordy Nelson now is running better than he was early in the season. And Devontae Adams has woke up out of a year and a half long slumber. I mean, there are reasons for it.
Right. But that doesn't change the fact that it was a thing. Like it was a thing. I mean, you know,
well, it wasn't all him. It wasn't him though.
Well, no, but it was, but he still wasn't great. I think
it's the same. He wasn't putting up big numbers and he wasn't playing the same way. But if you looked at it, just out of curiosity, where do you think he ranks, okay, just out of curiosity, in terms of the rankings for quarterbacks in the NFL?
How are we ranking them?
Sixth in yards, second in touchdown percentage, touchdown passes, sixth in touchdown percentage. I mean, all rating is 12.
How many touchdown passes do you think he has since week 7 of the season? Don't look.
Well, I know he has 27, and since week 7 he probably has 10 of them?
17.
Is it 17?
And did you know where 17 ranks in terms? Is that right? 17?
Yeah, maybe.
17. I think it's actually since week 6. Okay, since week 6 against Chicago. And hilariously, like over that time, the Packers are 2-4. But he's got 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in his last 6 games. Those 17 touchdowns are the most by an NFL quarterback in the league. Played pretty well.
Not surprising. The guy is the same guy. He's dropping dimes all over the place last night. And he got, look, what happened was, if anybody really wants to go back and dissect what happened to Aaron Rodgers in the early part of the season, the receivers didn't win and he didn't trust them to win. And when they didn't win, he got jumping in the pocket, started getting a little panicky. Even though he had protection, he started getting all, you know, discombobulated, and he wasn't the same guy. That's what happened. It wasn't that he wasn't the same guy. He wasn't playing like the same guy because his receivers weren't winning.
All right, so but this is at least interesting, and I don't think you can really cross over years very well, but I'm going to do it anyway. So from that Denver game last year, remember the first 6 weeks of the season last year, he played his ass off. Like, he was playing incredible football, carrying the Packers. I think they were undefeated. They were 6-0, and they didn't even really look like a great team, but Rodgers was playing so well that they were just beating people because of how it was him carrying the team. It was like basically what you saw last night. Now, if you take from that Denver game to the Dallas game in Green Bay, which they lost in week 5 this year, you get 15 total games, 58% completion percentage, 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, just a regular guy playing quarterback. And then
did he have Jordy last year?
No, Jordy tore his ACL.
Did he have Devontae Adams doing what he's doing now?
No, Devontae Adams was horrible last year.
Okay, well, there's your problem, Will. Does he have a tight end? No. Did he have a tight end?
No, they signed Jared Cook. He hadn't been very good. He was okay 2 weeks ago.
Did they have a tight end last year?
They did not. I'm sure they had somebody who played tight end.
Well, there's your problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, but like you can't, if Aaron Rodgers is infallible, then Jordy Nelson shouldn't stop him from being good.
How many quarterbacks have more touchdown passes than him this year?
Probably two or three.
One.
Who? Drew Brees. That makes sense. Yeah. Look, Rodgers is really good. I'm not trying to say he's not good. I'm just trying to say that there was like, he has clearly figured out whatever he needed to figure out. Mike McCarthy's adjusted his scheme. And even though the Packers aren't winning those games, they're still playing good football, or at least he's playing good football. The defense is not good. They're now 10th in the NFC in terms of seeding at 5-6. They are two games back of the Detroit Lions. They're one game back of the Minnesota Vikings. And they get Houston this week at home, which is a game that they should win just because of Aaron Rodgers, right?
They'll win.
Right, they should win that game. They get Seattle at home, which is going to be a difficult game, but a game that they can win.
The way they're playing. Everybody, it's funny how that narrative changed in a week, but yeah.
Oh, Lord. And then they get Chicago on the road. That's a game they should win. Minnesota at home.
Should win.
They should win that game. And then Detroit on the road. That's a game they can win, too. I mean, they could win out.
You know what I have to say about that?
What's that?
Relax.
Right, but even Rodgers wouldn't say relax. He was too panicked to say relax.
No, God. Look, the problem hasn't been him. It's been so much as it's been that defense.
I mean, yeah, the defense is a major problem. Clay Matthews came back before he got rocked by Alan Barbary. And then he wasn't the same. But they played better.
You made a little thing about the Alan Barbary hit last night, did you?
I didn't. Like a separate story? Or like did I include it in my encompassing recap for the entire game?
Yeah, you probably included that.
Yeah.
You love those big hits, don't you?
I mean, you're not a fan of big hits, Pete? Is that what
you like flag football?
You like flag football?
Part of the game.
You're a flag football guy, aren't you?
I don't, I'm not one of those guys who go, wow, look at that big hit. I'll just say he got whacked and move
That's
on.
That's the same thing.
Move on to the next play. You make gifs and stories and everything out of it.
I mean, it was a big hit. Like I didn't make a huge deal out of it. I retweeted a gif, and then I noted that Clay Matthews got his tail sucked.
Pete made it into Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback, and I hear that was somebody else's line. My sources tell me.
What tweet?
You didn't see it?
The Greg Williams goatee.
Yeah.
Whose line would that be?
Yeah, my sources tell me that was somebody else's.
What are you talking about?
You stole a joke.
From who? That, are you crazy?
Who was the comedian that was stealing jokes? What's his name? They ran him out.
Carlos Mencia?
No. The other guy, Dane Cook.
I didn't steal that joke from anybody. Cook. Get out of here.
You stole the joke.
Oh, no. Ryan Wilson stole that joke from me. He made it after I tweeted it. Get out of here with that crap.
I don't know. That's not what my source is.
I got timestamps. Who's ratting me out? I need you to name a name, Pete.
Name a name.
Don't you dare call me Dane Cook. Name a name on who ratted me out.
Nobody on our podcast cares about the name. They just want to know that you Dane Cook somebody.
I did not. I'll show you the timestamps. That's my joke. I made the joke.
It wasn't even that funny, but the fact is that you stole it, Dane Cook.
You know, interestingly enough, I was reading Peter King's column.
And why didn't you see your tweet in there then?
I saw it in there. I just forgot. I didn't.
Oh, God. He used my tweet, did he?
Well, he retweeted me. He was like, that's going in tweets of the week. So I knew it would be in there. But I wouldn't. I'm not fawning over the fact that it got in there. That's pretty cool. But I mean.
Yeah. I think you are. But anyways, go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, I'm trying to find Peter King's column. Let's see. Where's his latest? Oh, here we go. I got it right here. Let's see. I'm just going to do a control F real quick. Speaking of tweets.
In that same column, he had Russell Wilson third in the MVP voting. So that tells you.
Oh, there's Peter King's voice. All right. So you know what LT have? You know what LT had in here? A tweet from you.
Yeah, but he didn't embed my tweet.
He didn't embed your tweet, but he pointed out that during the draft, CBS Pete Prisco tweeted, people think Winston is getting killed by scouts. Some personnel people I talked with who think Marcus Mariota will be a flat-out bust.
True.
Well, I'm sure it's true, but he's not. He looks awesome. He's great.
I mean, slow down on the great.
He's been fantastic lately.
He's playing good football. He's not great.
I mean, he's a top 15 quarterback easily.
That makes you great?
I mean, I think he's probably a top 10 quarterback, but
The only great quarterbacks in the National Football League are Brady, Rodgers, Brees, and Roethlisberger right now. That's it.
Since week 5, Marcus Mariota is completing 67.4% of his passes. He has 2,073 passing yards. That's 259. 21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and he's averaging 8.6 yards per attempt. He's playing great football.
He's playing really good football, yeah.
He's playing great football.
Right. You call it great. I call it good.
You call it really good. You're bumping up against the edge of – all right, so look, anyway, we'll get to Marcus Mariota in a minute. Aaron Rodgers back. What percent chance do you give the Packers making the playoffs?
Oh, 75.
75%?
They're going to win the division.
You're that confident?
Yeah.
Why do you believe that aside from Aaron Rodgers? Well,
I think their defense
is terrible.
Here's why. Because I think Detroit's going to lose this week at New Orleans.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think they're going to lose at
Giants. Dallas.
Too. And then it'll come down to them beating the Packers. I think the Packers will beat them. So.
No joke. Detroit could lose out.
What's the rest of their schedule? They got the Giants.
New Orleans, Chicago at home should be a win.
That's a win.
Should be a win. They could lose that. They've trailed in the fourth quarter in every single game this season.
Go ahead. What's the next one?
Chicago at the Giants, at Dallas, then Green Bay at home. They could lose out.
Lose 4 or 5, and that would put them in. I think Minnesota's beating Dallas this week.
I do too. I picked that.
Yeah, I do. I think they're winning this week.
And then Minnesota's got Dallas at home, at Jacksonville, Indianapolis at home, at Green Bay, and Chicago at home.
They could win 4 or 5.
Yeah, they could. They could also go 3-2. Easily.
They're not very good.
Minnesota, no.
Yeah. Either none of the Packers are the best of that group, and they'll get their defense playing better. They'll win it.
So let's explore that for a second. Minnesota, we both think Minnesota's going to beat Dallas. My thinking is it's at Minnesota. They are going to be able to – they're going to stack the box, play the run, and force Dak Prescott to beat them, except Dak Prescott, who has beaten teams this year, is going to be playing against a defense that in the secondary is very talented, and I don't think he's going to find the sledding quite as easy as he has in the past. That's my theory why they'll lose. Also, it's a short week. That makes for tougher preparation, but I think for Mike Zimmer – you can kind of prepare your defense against Dak a little more easily than Dak can prepare against you.
The only concern, and Dallas isn't great rushing the passer, and that's a concern when you play the Vikings with that offensive line, but I'm with you. I think they're going to load up, stop Elliott, and take away some of the stuff down the field with that secondary. You might make a mistake or two, and it's going to be a physical game, and I can't wait to watch the Vikings against that defense, against that offensive line. That should be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I see something like 17-13. I think this game goes under. 43.5 is high for a Thursday night game.
Very high.
Interesting. Something to file away. We'll talk about that later in the week with Mr. Nick Costas on the Roughing the Passer podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, whatever. Feel free to leave a review if you like what we do. We appreciate it. Lets our bosses know that we're not terrible or something like that. Carson Wentz. Doesn't really like to throw downfield, does he?
No. Well, I mean, that's rookie-itis. You're afraid to make mistakes. Plus, his receivers aren't very good.
No, they're not. Where would you put him on a 1 to 10 scale, you know, in terms of rank him both on like how you think he's done this year and where you think he is moving forward? Because I think he looks the part in that same way.
Oh, he's going to be a really good quarterback.
Okay. All right.
Just, he's not there yet.
It wasn't a deep throw, but I mean, like you watch it, he can flat out spin it. You know, like sometimes you just see a guy throw and you can tell he can spin it.
And he's physical.
Yeah. I worry about him getting hurt running around though.
Why do you don't worry about any other quarter? You don't worry when Wilson runs. You don't worry when Newton runs. He's big like Newton. He's not as big as Newton, but he's big.
They've both been injured, so I definitely worry about him. I mean, yeah. but Carson Wentz is not quite as big as those guys. We're not quite as big as Cam, obviously bigger than Russell. Russell, yeah, I worry.
Can we talk about the the stupid decision that Kubiak made? That
No, I've got that on the list. We're going to finish talking about Carson Wentz and then we'll get to it.
All right. Well, what about Carson Wentz?
Like if you're an Eagles fan, you're looking at this.
Like a quarterback of the future. You're thrilled.
You're feeling pretty good, right?
Yep.
Are you a little worried that the pick you could give away, the pick you're going to give away, that first round pick next year is going to be high? Because they're at Cincinnati this week. That's not a guarantee.
So who's the pick? Who would your pick be? If you don't have Carson Wentz, who are you picking?
What are you talking about?
You got to get a quarterback somewhere. So let's just say, for the sake of that argument, that pick's going to be high.
Well,
and you don't have Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're probably not taking Mitch Trubisky or Everett Golson. I mean, I'd rather have Wentz. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying they're playing at Cincinnati than Washington.
Not Everett Golson, you mean Kaiser.
I mean, DeShone Kizer. Yeah, not Golson. At Cincinnati, Washington at home, at Baltimore, Giants at home, Dallas at home. A lose out is not off the table.
Right.
It's unlikely, but it's not off the table.
But what's your point, though, Brent?
I mean, that they could have a top 10 pick, and they're going to give it away.
They had a second. They got their quarterback of the future. They solved it.
Okay, even if the Eagles lost out and finished with the number 3 pick, you're cool.
Unless there was a quarterback that you thought was better, as a better prospect than Carson Wentz, then no.
Mitch Trubisky?
No, he's not better than Carson. No,
he's not. I like Trubisky, though. Okay, but so you're cool.
I don't think there's an elite quarterback in this group, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that's the general consensus. Trubisky to the Browns at 1 would be a weird thing. I think the Browns probably pass and go with Cody Kessler for next year, but we'll see. Okay, so you don't care. You like Carson Wentz. You think he's going to be good?
Yes.
Do you buy into people criticizing him for not throwing deep? Or is that a Doug Peterson thing?
It's a Doug Peterson thing in that offense. It's also the receivers don't win down the field, and it's also that he's a little rookie gun shy. I mean, I had it all up, and that's why he didn't throw the ball down the field.
The other guy that doesn't throw the ball down the field, Alex Smith. You see how I segue into that without just blindly pulling Gary Kubiak out of there, Pete? Alex Smith beat the Denver Broncos on a Sunday night game. Incredible doink to end it by Cairo Santos, who had the bank shot to help give the Chiefs to win in overtime. What was your take on Gary Kubiak kicking the 62-yard field goal?
That's not where the problem is. That's not where the problem was. The problem was when he didn't go for two after he scored his touchdown late.
Right. Yeah, you wrote about that, didn't you? Were you tweeting about that?
Yeah. Up 9, mm-hmm. and the game's over if you get the two-point conversion. If you don't get it, the game's still at 7. The Chiefs score. They're not going to go for two. They're going to kick an extra point. You're going to overtime anyways. So it's a no risk, no reward. Yeah, you would have had, they could have stopped the two-point play, but they didn't. And so I've always been a big believer. I believe that long before Pete Carroll ever thought about doing it.
It's all upside and so no downside. I mean, the downside is you're up by 7 and the conservative dude on the other side is just going to kick.
Now, some people said that Fowler should have gone down at the 1. Hmm. And then because they had no timeouts left, there was 3 minutes and something left, that he would have taken the clock down to like 30 seconds or something. And then, See, but here's my – in that one, if you take it to 30 seconds and you don't score and you kick a field goal, what if they blocked it and, you know –
What if you shank the 35-yard field goal? I mean, that's a
– Now, if there's 45 – minute left, 40 seconds left, then you can take the knee and not score. Then, yeah, absolutely you do that. Like in certain situations, if there was a minute left in that game and Fowler broke out like that, then the Chiefs would have had – the best thing the Chiefs could do is let them score.
I think there's a huge difference between a minute and 3 minutes. Yeah, you can't ask a receiver to get down at the 1 with 3 minutes left
if there was 2-something left and they didn't have any timeouts, you could, because then the game's over. You got to factor in. You got to look at – somebody on that sideline has to look up and say, we can do this, this, and this if he bust out and go down. And the other side has to say, you know what? If he gets a first down, we're done, so let him score. They don't ever figure it out.
They don't plan ahead. I think it's too
– the situational coaching in the NFL is atrocious.
All right. Let me ask you about some more situational coaching. I think Kubiak should have gone for it, should have gone for two there. But, you know, I'm not going to – I mean, like, you know, he kicked and he went up 8. Like, I'm not, like, to me, that's not the – it's not what lost him the game. You know, he could have missed –
could have won him the game right there, though, Brinson.
But he could have missed a two-point conversion and the same situation unfolds.
But why not go for two and end the game?
I agree with you. I think you should go for two, but I'm not going to – like just like crush the dude for not going for it.
But because he wasn't thinking at all. You don't think. You're not thinking ahead.
But it's not. All right, so what percentage of success do you need on the 2-point conversion to go for two there? To make it a worthwhile gamble to go for two.
There's no risk.
I mean, I get if you don't get it, you're still up 7. But I'm saying, yeah, but like you have to do the math on it and say,
I don't care what the Mets – look, people always said, well, if you get this and you stop the two-point play, the reward is the game's over.
I mean,
other scenario
– look, I'm with you. I'm just saying that's not the dumbest coaching move that we saw on Sunday.
No, but in no other scenario, Brent,
he should have punted instead of kicking the
Is the reward game over or you might go to overtime? And that's essentially what that is. If they make the 2-point play, you're going to overtime the way it played out, right? Where's your reward there? There's no reward by stopping the 2-point play.
Well, the reward is you force the other team to convert a 2-point conversion as well.
There's no risk. It's the risk reward is too great. You gotta.
I agree with you. There's no downside.
It was a bad decision. Just say it.
Yes, it was a bad decision, but it wasn't the worst decision I saw on Sunday. I'll tell you what was worse: Ron Rivera punting on 4th and inches when he's got Cam Newton on his own 40 when it's tied 32-all and he's giving the ball back to Derek Carr with a defense that doesn't have Luke Kuechly and hadn't stopped the Raiders all day. That was a worse decision.
Well, that's a bad decision too, but that's
worse than Kubiak's.
Well, no, because that decision doesn't end the game. Kubiak's decision would end the game.
But if he goes for it and he gets it and he marches the team down and they kick a field goal.
But now you're taking it into account. If Kubiak goes for it and gets the 2-point conversion, is the game over?
And it is pretty close to over.
If they convert on 4th down, is the game over?
No, it's pretty close.
Well, there's the difference.
But you're inching closer to. And then the other terrible coaching decision in that same Panthers Raiders game was Jack Del Rio when he decided to throw on 2nd and 3rd down from goal. I get that you're trying to score and trying to put the game away, but you gotta make burn that clock, man.
Yeah, sometimes these guys try and get too aggressive and they overthink things. It happens all the time.
Yeah, run the ball 3 times, make the Panthers use their timeout.
Kick the field goal,
get the ball, get it down to 1 minute left, and play some defense and send Khalil Mack after Cam Newton. And look, they won anyway, so he got away with it. But there was some bad coaching in that game. And we agree 100%. I think that you should go for it when you're up 7. If you score a touchdown, you go up 7. You can either kick to go up 8 or go for the 2-point conversion. You should always go for it because if you're up 9, your win probability is through the roof. I'm with you 100% on that. I just think that that to me is not botching a coaching decision.
Oh, I think it's botching a coaching decision because nobody pays attention to that one. It's not because most people don't think about it. That's why most people don't see it as a botched decision. It's a botched decision. What about the 62-yard field goal? What should he have done? I think you're better off trying to go for it.
This sounds like the biggest weenie move of all time, and you would have gotten killed for it. I think you punt.
Well, and you punt because right now, if you punt and you tie, you're still in the playoff.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Because if you punt and you try to make Alex Smith go win that game from his own 5-yard line, I like your chances of stopping him or of creating a turnover and giving yourself a field goal. I wouldn't even be surprised if Andy Reid kind of played for the tie too, you know? Because the tie in this spot with the way that the AFC is unfolding, with the Dolphins playing really well, having won 6 straight games, you really want to have that tie. You can't. That loss is brutal.
Yeah, I think I would have. I would have punted. I wouldn't have gone for it, but
it is so soft if you punt there, and Gary Kubiak would have gotten killed for it. But if you go for it, they get great field position too. It was a lose-lose situation for them. All right, we're going to pause really quickly for a commercial break, and then we'll come back to talk about some other teams in the AFC.
Hey, sports fans, if you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then, talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
All right, Pete. What do you think about Greg? We talked about Greg Williams' goatee and my funny jokes about Greg Williams' goatee. his frosted tips are even worse than the goatee.
That's bad.
Yeah. What do you think? What did you think about the Greg Williams revenge game in New Orleans?
We got destroyed. It was brutal. And then they ran it up on him with a reverse pass by Willie Snead. I mean, it was like they rubbed his face in it. That was vintage Sean Payton vindictiveness right there.
Yeah, it was hilarious, I thought. I mean, did you have a problem with them running it up?
No, but what goes around comes around.
Do you think the Saints are a potential playoff team?
No.
You don't?
Although I do think they'll win. Well, yeah, maybe. You know what might decide their potential playoff berth? Next week, they go to Tampa.
Yeah. So they get Tampa Bay twice down the stretch. Who do you think is more likely to make the playoffs, the Saints or the Bucs? And the Bucs are obviously a game up, but the Saints get to play them
twice. And the Bucs have San Diego this week, and then they got New Orleans twice.
And then at Dallas and Carolina at home to close out.
Yeah.
That's a tough schedule.
And Carolina's not any good, so they'll win that game.
Guaranteed.
No, well, nothing's guaranteed.
Saints have Detroit at Tampa, at Arizona, Tampa at Atlanta.
At Atlanta and at Tampa are tough games. And what's the other one? At Arizona?
Yeah. If the Saints went 5-0, I wouldn't be stunned. And if they went 1-4, I wouldn't be stunned. I mean, that's just, it goes either way. Their offense is just playing really well.
You would think that the Giants are one wild card for sure.
The Giants don't have an easy schedule either.
No, but they're going to get the Lions at home. They'll win that.
The Giants are at Pittsburgh, which is this week, which is, I like Pittsburgh. Dallas at home. They could win that game, but I probably like Dallas. Detroit at home. I bet that's a close game between two teams with a lot of close games. At Philly, at Washington. It's a tough schedule.
Yeah, it's tough. Giants are going to win, be a wild card team.
More than likely.
They're going to get to 9, and that should get you a wild card, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Redskins lose this week at Arizona, they're in deep trouble.
If the Redskins lose at Arizona this week, they go at Philly, Carolina at home, at Chicago, and then the Giants. I mean, they're in a lot of trouble, especially if Tampa Bay can manage to win in San Diego, which is
possible. Tampa Bay wins at San Diego this week, I think they're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, and that would be a very impressive effort from your boy, Dirk Cutter.
A good coach. I said it all along. He'd be a better NFL coach than he would be when he was a college coach at Arizona State. And the reason I say that is when he was at ASU, he had to deal with the boosters. He just wants to coach football. He's a football coach. And, he's a good, smart football coach. And Mike Smith's done a good job with that defense.
Defense is playing really well the last 3 weeks. I mean, and those are two quality wins. Like, you can't sleep on that.
Yeah, you go to Kansas City and win. And then
come back and hold Seattle to 5 points. Yeah. What did you think about MVP candidate Russell Wilson and his 5 points?
That might be the biggest joke I've ever seen that he's even in the conversation. Think about this for a second, okay? Russell Wilson has 11 touchdown passes. Here's the guys that have more. Ready?
Yep.
Simeon.
Yeah. Are you waiting for a laugh?
Carson Palmer. Uh-huh. Okay. Brock Osweiler.
God, are you serious?
Andy Dalton. Blake Bortles.
You could have stopped at Osweiler. Like that says it all.
And then here's the guys that have the same number as him. Tyrod Taylor, Carson Wentz, Flacco, who's not playing very well either. I mean, look, the bottom line is, for all the talk about Russell Wilson, and I'm going to defend him a little because that offensive line was atrocious the other day, but he was too.
Yeah,
and he was. All the talk about him being an MVP candidate and this and that, he's got 11 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, it's not great. I will say this, though. I mean, he was injured for the first part of the season.
Here we go. Let me get out my little violin and play a violin. Okay?
He was injured for the first part of the season, and he has a bad offensive line.
How come everybody makes excuses for him, but when Rodgers goes bad, they want to run him out of the stadium?
No one wanted to run Rodgers out. They're trying to figure out what was wrong with Rodgers. Russell's issues were obvious. He's hurt because Ndamukong Suh stepped on his damn ankle, and then his offensive line is terrible. If Russell was healthy and dealing with the bad offensive line, it's one thing. Russell hurt dealing with the bad offensive line, it's a whole different ballgame. And the Seahawks are still the number 2 seed. He's helped them play well. The defense is great. They had a bad game against Tampa. I'm not going to wipe him off the MVP race for that. And he's probably, I don't know. I actually submitted a list, and I don't know what order he was, but I mean he's not, he'd be, I think he's 5 for me. I didn't put any Cowboys on there.
Five
who's above him? I've got I've got Derek Carr, Brady, Tom Derek
Brady
Carr,
Carr,
oh, let me list my,
Ryan,
I've got Derek Carr, Cowboys. Will you please let me get my list? I have Derek Carr, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, and Russell Wilson.
You don't have either of the Cowboys on there.
Yeah, see, here's what I'm thinking on the Cowboys. I don't think that I think the problem with the Cowboys is that, like, Dak is not an MVP because Dak isn't doing what he's doing without the offensive line and without Ezekiel Elliott. And I don't think Zeke is doing what he's doing without that offensive line, even though he's great. Like, I think he's great and amazing, but I don't think he's doing what he's doing without that offensive line. And I'm not willing to give the MVP to an offensive line. So in my mind, the Cowboys don't have an MVP candidate because they're all, it's a sum of their parts. And that's great. That's what football's supposed to be. But I don't think they have a true MVP candidate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Well, the number one ranked scoring defense in the league again right now is who?
Probably the Seattle Seahawks.
And it would be the fifth straight year and the last time anybody – fifth straight year they led the league in scoring defense. And the last time anybody did that was the 1950s Browns, who were a dynasty, okay?
Yeah.
So you can talk all you want about
now,
that.
Did you cover them for the Inquirer or were you at CBS?
You can talk all you want about the offensive line of the Cowboys. I guarantee you any quarterback in the league would rather play with his offensive line being what it is and take the number one ranked defense and take his chances.
Hmm. I don't know. Maybe.
Are you kidding me? You can, the game flow is all in your advantage always when you have the number one ranked scoring defense in the league. Always.
Then why, do the Cowboys have a better record than the Seahawks then?
Well, maybe the quarterback is better.
Get out of here, man.
Hey, the quarterback is playing better.
He's playing, look, I'm not.
If you want to compare, if you want to compare your MVP candidate with his, let's just run it across the board. Ready? 64.7 completion percentage for Wilson. Prescott, 67.9. 2,835 yards for Prescott. 2,865 yards for – so he's 30 yards ahead of him. 7.79 yards per attempt for Wilson. Prescott, 8.34. Touchdowns, 18 to 11. Interceptions, 2 to 4. Passer rating, 108.6 for Prescott. Down. Wilson, 93.9. So in – one category is 30 yards ahead. That's it.
Look, Prescott's playing really well. He's got a good team.
So how could he? How could Russell Wilson be an MVP candidate ahead of Dak Prescott?
Because it's my list. I can do what I want. That's why.
Russell Wilson shouldn't be an MVP candidate ahead of Kirk Cousins.
Whoa. This is, break. Go on. Expand.
No, I don't. Kirk Cousins is very good. Should I mean? Kirk Cousins has 20 touchdown passes, 7 picks, 3,540 yards, 8.10 average attempt, 101.4 passer rating. What's their record? They're not much worse than the Seahawks.
So you think that Kirk Cousins...
Why is Russell Wilson even in the MVP conversation?
Because he's got the Seahawks are playing well. He's had one bad game.
He hasn't done anything. He's got 11 touchdown passes. How could anybody put him in the conversation? What's the MVP candidate? What's his MVP resume? Where is it? What is it?
I mean, first of all, the wins, because quarterback wins matter. Do you not agree that wins matter? What's the point of playing the game?
Team stat. But go ahead. You're not going to pick a quarterback from a losing team. I get it. But it's team stat. Go ahead.
All right. I mean, look, he's at, I mean, he's got it. I mean, I'm just trying to run through the list. He's averaging 260 yards per passing, 7.8 yards per attempt. He's completely 64.7 of his passes. He's playing behind maybe the worst offensive line in football, and the Seahawks are playing well as an offense. They don't have any running backs. They cut Christine Michael. They lost Marshawn Lynch in the offseason. They got Thomas Rawls, who's been hurt. He lost C.J. Procies.
You just made that case. Who has a better record, the Giants or the Seahawks?
The Giants do.
Whose defense is better?
The Seahawks.
Okay. Does Eli Manning have a good offensive line?
He has a better offensive line than Russell Wilson.
It's better, but it's come on, it's not good.
Is Odell Beckham better than Doug Baldwin?
Yes. Is Jimmy Graham better than anything in the middle of the field that the Giants have?
I mean, he has Odell Beckham.
Okay, but he has Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin and others. So don't use that. Okay, can either one of the teams run the ball? No.
No.
Okay, so here's Eli Manning's numbers. He's got his completion percentage slightly behind, okay, 63.2 to Wilson's, which was 64, whatever it was, 64.7. So he's behind. Yards, he's ahead of him. Yards per attempt, he's behind him. Touchdowns, way ahead. He's 20 to 11. Interceptions, he's got 10. He's got 4, so way ahead. Passer rating, they're about 90.1 for Manning, and Wilson is 93.9.
You just described a quarterback who's not as good as Russell Wilson.
Right, but if Russell Wilson was ahead of him in some categories, behind him in others, and he's got a better record. So if Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate, then so is Eli Manning.
Now, would you say that Eli has 200 yards rushing? Is that possible? That's actually low for Russell. Has Eli Manning been dealing with an ankle injury?
You guys, you're part of the cult. You're in the cult. I'm putting you in it. You're in it. Why? I don't get it. Look, I'm not picking him apart on this.
I'm gazing at my fat head right now.
I think he's improved as a player and is much better as a quarterback than he used to be. But for anybody to put him in the MVP conversation is foolishness.
I'm going to disagree.
Well, thank God you don't have a vote.
You've got the vote. Who would you vote for today?
Brady.
I got no Derek Carr? Really, Brady?
Brady.
All right. That's fair. I don't know if I – I know. The Tennessee Titans. So I mentioned Marcus Mariota playing great football. You think he's playing, quote-unquote, really good football. What do you think the Titans are going to win this division?
No, the Colts are going to win the division.
You're still buying the Colts? They're 5-6. But
if they win one more game and they're tied, they beat them twice. So they got a big tiebreaker on them.
Mm-hmm. If Houston loses at Green Bay, which is probably likely, and the Colts win at the Jets, but that's what Vegas says will happen. That doesn't always work that way. Three-way tie. I think that Indianapolis would hold the tiebreaker, right? Didn't they beat Houston or did they lose? Yeah. Right?
No, they lost to Houston.
Okay, remember? So Houston would hold the tie over those two teams because Houston beat Tennessee as well. So if they're all 6-6, Houston holds a tie, but clearly, you know, Tennessee.
What are the schedules like the rest of the way? You got to look at that, too.
Tennessee gets Denver, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Kansas City and Jacksonville on the road, and then Houston. That's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Houston's at Green Bay, at Indy, Jacksonville and Cincy at home, at Tennessee. And the Colts are at the Jets, Houston at home, at Minnesota, at Oakland, and then Jacksonville at home.
Hmm. Yeah, it's going to come down to the last week, that's for sure. Yeah, eight's going to win that division probably.
Yeah, that division still stinks, but it is. Yeah, it's going to be a fun race.
Somehow, some way, the Colts will find a way to win that.
Dolphins going to make the playoffs?
They win Sunday, they do.
At Baltimore, Arizona at home, at Jets, at Buffalo, New England. I think this is
Will New England be playing for anything in the last week of the season?
I mean, New England hopes they're not playing for the division. The Dolphins are only two games back.
Yeah, but New England might not be playing for anything that week.
New England has the Rams at home, Baltimore at home, at Denver, Jets at home.
They should win three of those four, and if they win three of the four, that in say Oakland loses one more, then that would get them to.
But here's the catch: is if New England loses one of those, and look, I'm just saying, if New England loses one of those and the Dolphins win their next four?
Well, then Miami won't need them to lay down because they'll be playing for a play. They'll be in the playoffs anyways.
Yeah, that's true. But they'd be playing for the division.
Right.
That'd be spicy. Could happen. Might not. Could happen. Denver going to make the playoffs?
If they had punted, they would have.
At Jacksonville, at Tennessee, New England at home, at Kansas City, Oakland at home. That's not easy.
It's a brutal schedule.
That is bad. 3-5 on the road, and then New England at home and Oakland at home.
I'll tell you what, they better beat Jacksonville this week.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them slipping up there.
If they lose to Jacksonville, they're out.
Yeah. They're toast if they lose to Jacksonville. All right. So that's what we got. That's the podcast. You've got to go. I'm sure you got like busy things you've got to go do, right?
Yeah, I got to start working on get my tape stuff going, man. Come on.
Oh, you got to go grind on that tape. All right, for Pete Prisco.
Breaking down Ryan Tannehill today.
People can check that out at cbssports.com.
End of the week,
Ryan Tannehill. You can find out if you think the Dolphins are a contender, if Tannehill is for real. For Pete Prisco, I'm Will Brinson. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to iTunes. We'll talk to you later in the week. Picks with Nick Costas coming up.